Do y'all remember the Smurfs? In the late 1950s, Belgian cartoonist Pierre Culliford, known by the pen name Peyo, introduced Smurfs to the world. Many of us only really know the Smurfs through their second and third generation lives on TV, but they got their start in print. Peyo first wrote the Smurfs as supporting characters to another comic, Johan and Peewit, an adventuresome series set in medieval Europe. Then in the 1960s until the early 90s, he created 16 Smurf-specific comics. More would be written by other authors, taken into other mediums, and merchandised to Kingdom Come. There's a lot to be said about the Smurfs, but it's the last of Peyo's Smurf comics that I'd like to talk about today. Finance Smurf, written in 1992, right before Peyo died, and translated into English in 2012, is naturally about financial wealth. It's not a rigorous social analysis, but more like a counter-narrative to economic myths about the origin of money and its social ramifications. Within these and other storytelling limits, Peyo still makes sharp points about money as a pernicious way of managing social wealth that in practice gives rise to inequalities, antisocial behavior, and artificial scarcity. One day, Papa Smurf is knocked unconscious in a laboratory explosion. One of the Smurfs goes on a mission to get help from a local wizard, Homnibus. Homnibus figures out how to help Papa Smurf and sends his apprentice Oliver to a nearby town to get an ingredient he lacks. The unnamed Smurf accompanies him. Along the way, Oliver talks to the Smurf about money, as the missing ingredient has to be bought. And there's a cute moment of mutual alienation when both are surprised that the other lives with or without it. In town, they see people trade money for everyday goods, and there seems to be a constant conflict between buyers and sellers over prices. Oliver and the little Smurf see how people are divided between rich and poor, have and have not, consumers of luxury and consumers of charity. Even the little Smurf, who didn't know what money was, feels ripped off when a mere handful of hazelnuts costs 3 pence. Still, when leaving town, the Smurf is torn between skeptical bewilderment and intrigue. He decides he must tell Papa Smurf about it. When he gets back, Papa Smurf is beginning to recover, but is not well enough yet to have visitors. The Smurf decides not to wait, but instead to surprise Papa Smurf and the whole Smurf village with a money supply of coins and a plan to use them in a new money-based exchange economy. Before he makes his announcement, though, he needs a money supply. He, like all Smurfs, depends on other Smurfs. He goes to other Smurfs to do the work of sketching a design of the coin and making a sketch into a casting mold. He gets gold for the actual coins from Minor Smurf, who calls it useless junk and is actually helped by him taking it away. Handy Smurf, who has a forging furnace, pours the molten gold into the cast, and they both work on prying them out. The Smurf calls for a meeting of the whole village and by an unexplained fiat tells the Smurfs, quote, "From now on, like with the humans, Farmer Smurf will Smurf his wheat to earn his bread. Miller Smurf will Smurf flour to make some dough. And Baker Smurf will Smurf bread to earn his crust," end quote. Brainy Smurf objects, pointing out that Papa Smurf must weigh in on big village decisions, but the other Smurfs agree. To start them off, Finance Smurf, as they begin to call him, gives them all a bag of coins. Then, the way to get Smurfs otherwise is to work or make your money work for you, by loaning it out at interest. Finance Smurf, of course, gives himself a double portion. "And why's that?" one Smurf snaps. "Come on," Finance Smurf defends himself. "I had expenses. I had to Smurf all these coins. And it was my idea, wasn't it?" At first, Operation Money, as he calls it, seems to be working. Finance Smurf has to advise Smurfs about how to set prices, but before too long, everyone develops a habit for charging Smurfs for the things they do for or provide one another. This doesn't seem to cause any hard feelings, and actually comes off as a game until it comes time to eat dinner. And what was once an unconditional fact of living in the Smurf village is now only for those who can afford it. After a while, inequalities start to emerge as certain Smurfs accumulate money, while other Smurfs are unable to make money doing what they usually do for the village. Some Smurfs, especially those whose services is in the greatest demand, collect more than they know what to do with. Finance Smurf offers to hold this money for them, offer them a certain percentage of interest. He makes the money work. He invests it in new and needed things like a bridge. But the formerly open access and public bridge is now a toll bridge. Some Smurfs go so broke they have to beg for food from Smurfs who freely fed them before. And still others pay for everyday needs by taking out loans from Finance Smurf at interest and put up things like their bed and mushroom house for collateral. At one point, Finance Smurf starts to straight up convince them to sell their houses for bags of coins and then collect rent to stay there. All the while, Papa Smurf is still resting up from his accident. Then one day, the evil wizard Gargamel, the Smurfs' main antagonist, discovers that the Smurfs have gold and begins to devise a plan to get it. This involves minting some fake coins, trapping one of the Smurfs, and holding them for ransom. It's at about this time that Papa Smurf begins to be well enough to move around and is only just starting to take note of the new economy when he's brought Gargamel's ransom note. He figures it's a trap and sends another Smurf to spy on him. The spy learns Gargamel does not plan to return the kidnapped Smurf, but to try and catch them all and their gold too. He curiously says that their greed will do them in. With this knowledge, the Smurfs reposition Gargamel's net. Then, when they meet him the next day, it's Gargamel who gets trapped, and they release the kidnapped Smurf and get back to the village. Life, it would seem, can go back to normal. But in the Smurf village, the new economic plan is causing other problems. Papa Smurf finally gets his share of gold coins, and after paying Smurfette for her unpaid care work, he's broke too. He asks Finance Smurf for a loan to rebuild his laboratory, but rejects Finance Smurf's terms when it requires him to charge his little Smurfs for help. Papa Smurf sees economic insecurity and compulsive productivity make the Smurfs aggressive and alienated, but also overly ingratiating towards Smurfs with money. Then a Smurf, maybe Grouchy Smurf, decides to leave the village and start life elsewhere. He's sick and Smurfed of it, he says, and the others follow, including Papa Smurf. At first, Finance Smurf is not too bothered. He now owns the whole town, but quickly he becomes too lonely to bear. He goes out and finds the Smurfs who left, recants monetizing the village, tells them that they don't owe him anything, and begs the Smurfs to return, which they do. When they have to do something with all the gold coins, they melt them down and make brass instruments, which are seen in the end making music for a community concert. The end. If you just tuned in, I'm Joe Clement for the Old Mole Variety Hour, and I've been talking about the last of the original Smurf comics, Finance Smurf. The Smurfs do not try to account for the whole economy, nor is it very clear how even the Smurfs' own village subsists. What they strike on, though, is the social life and psychology of money. The focus on money in this story might be taken as an ideological fixation on the realm of circulation, but labor is given special attention too, I think. The coins are almost entirely the product of other Smurfs' labor. The Smurfs withhold their labor as the only way out. Money, as a form of wealth, is shown to capture labor. Ultimately, it's not a revolutionary story, but a dystopian one, barely averted. It's like Ayn Rand's Galt's Gulch in Atlas Shrugged, except Rand thought she was writing heroic fiction. I recommend reading this with a 5-year-old, asking them questions and trying to defamiliarize yourself with money. Tell me what you want me to do.